Hey everyone, another great episode of The Morning Show to kick off the week. We talked all things crypto price action after the dump this weekend and where we could go from here. We also talked all things ordinals, and we were joined by Trevor for an extra special segment of the show to talk all things runes as anticipation builds ahead of its launch on a Friday/Saturday. Thanks again and enjoy the show. Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. Welcome to the Daily Bone podcast. We discuss all things crypto, NFTs, which are both barely holding on, barely holding signs of life. We got a lot to talk about today. We are discussing the weekend crypto dump, the red across the board, where it could go from here. We're going to talk about altcoins a bit, altcoins, and if it's time to buy or just stick to the majors. We're less than a week away from the halving, so we're going to discuss some interesting stuff there. We're also going to be joined by Trevor Owens, who is the CEO of Ninja Alerts. He's the host of the very popular Ordinal show as well with Leonidas to discuss all things runes prep ahead of the halving, supposedly this Friday, Saturday if you're in Australia. But I'm excited for today's show. For everyone listening, Easy is still in Arizona in the Pacific time. So it is 6 a.m., but I text him, I'm like, hey, we need the big guns for today's show. I don't know if Nick's TA is going to hold up. He's tardy. Sometimes he doesn't show up to the show. I need the big guns on stage today because we have a big show ahead of us today. But Easy, how you feeling over there, man?
We're alive and well. What could possibly – can't have a better Monday, man.
That's you just look an good. Absolute, you look good. Thanks, yeah. Same. You look fantastic.
You know, it's a given. It's a given. We're driving. How are you? How are you? How's
I'm
your
good.
Weekend been?
Thanks for asking. I feel good, dude. I got a haircut. You know, I had a woman barber for the first time in my life. I got some sun, dude. I got tan. I got sunburnt a little bit. You know, as a brownie, I usually don't get sunburned, but I got the Miami sun got to me, man. I look like a lobster. Nick, how you doing, man? Good morning. Good to see you.
You were saying I wasn't going to be on?
I was a little bit worried by that you might be a little bit tardy and that I need the big guns for today's show to talk crypto price action. And I couldn't afford, not having the two of you or at least one heavy hitter on the TA front, given how well you guys called it last week.
Looks like I was calling it better than Easy, huh?
I agree, actually. What'd you call? You call like 118, 115?
I called 94.
I did not say 94. The weekly doesn't look good.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it after the weather report. We got some juice to discuss. Before we kick things off, actually, I want to talk very briefly about our content partner, Polygon. They announced four or five things last week, and I want Easy to briefly cover it. Easy, whenever you're ready.
No, I mean, Polygon came out with a plethora of announcements, Clemente. An absolute smorgasbord of announcements, I will say. They dropped the TX1 project, Polygon's proof of stake to access NFTs and Web3 on smart TVs, announced a partnership with World of Women, Wilder World, Ledger, and Polygon itself. So it looks like we're getting some smart television action.
Wait, hold on. They announced a partnership with themselves?
Oh, yeah.
So it was Samsung.
That's a baller-ass shit right there, dude.
Yeah, well, it's Samsung's partnership. And they said, oh, by the way, also us as Polygon are included in the partnership.
Pretty ball.
So not just these Polygon projects, but also, you know, just us being great at Polygon.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, they also announced Game On 2.0. It's their month-long gaming campaign that's kicking off today with 12 free-to-play games on Polygon and a $30,000 United States prize pool. So you can just dive in. Totally free-to-play. You can get active, get engaged. 8 live events, 12 games. You don't need anything to play it. You can just go play and compete for the cash. Go compete for the cash. You can see they got a bunch of spaces planned for it, a bunch of conversations where Planet Mojo, Wilder World, Champions.io, and Real Jonah Blake, friend of the show, will also be having a heavy hand in that. So you can see 1 p.m. kickoff today, game night tomorrow, even though it's during the day, questing, which is solo games on the 17th, and then game night on April 18th at 8:30. So fully packed schedule for Game 2.0, and 30 grand in prizes. Maybe worth diving into. And the last thing, once again, with gaming itself, was Dapp Radar reported that not only did blockchain gaming hit a record average of 1.9 million daily active unique wallets DUAW. But Polygon also became the leading blockchain ecosystem for gaming activity with 407,000 daily unique active wallets, led by Matrix, who has 1.2 million unique active wallets across the past 30 days. So it shows that Polygon Gaming is continuing to ramp here, shows that we're getting a ton of positive traction, and that the games seem to have some people excited. So shout out Polygon. Like I said, an absolute smorgasbord of announcements over the past weekend.
And follow them at 0xPolygon. They're announcing stuff every day. They're crushing on the socials front, so make sure to follow them. I was also surprised to see BNB up there. But awesome, easy. I appreciate that. Man, at 6 a.m. in the morning, you sound fantastic. You sound fantastic. So, but let's kick this.
Are we kidding? That microphone sounds like garbage. What the hell went wrong with the thing?
I don't know.
Do you gotta like turn the sensitivity down or something?
It loves your P words. It just comes in with a real banger on the P.
Is that better? It sounds great. And I'm like,
is this better?
It sounds maybe a little bit.
A little bit better. Yeah. But dude, we can hear everything. Like when you're.
I think that may be better.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's way better.
We're still back.
Yeah. Now you're back. Dude, it was a lot. Nick, I'm trying to build him up a little bit. Come on. It's 6 a.m. He needs a boost.
Lying is not the way of doing that. You'll learn from relationships after you fuck up enough of them that basically you got to be honest, man. That's the best path forward. There are some cases where honesty does not win, but for the vast majority, it's better to be honest, Clemente.
P. Romo said that to tell
you end up 42 and single like me. Yeah.
All right. Signal, please. Let's kick things off. We got a bunch to talk about. We can't be getting down in the dumps on a Monday morning. Signal, please take it away.
Absolutely, Clemente. Let's get into it. It's Monday, April 15th. It's U.S. tax day. That ETH market volume is coming in at 23.5 million. Solana market volume at 11. Ordinals cooled down to 17. Onto the market leaders. Over on the ETH side, those apes and penguins, they're down at 10 ETH, just hovering around there. Over on Solana, Mutant Money is up 10% to 2.6 SOL. And the J.O. Bowden NFT collection, which minted for 0.2 SOL, absolutely cooked up to an 8 SOL floor. Finally, over on Ordinals, magic prevails with the Wizards of Ord up almost 60% to 0.04 BTC, and the Bitcoin Wizards also up nicely, almost 40% to 0.28 BTC. Over on the crypto roundup, well, obviously major crash after the news on the weekend. Bitcoin dropped as low as 61K. It since rallied with the majors up almost 10% over the last 24 hours. Bitcoin currently at 66,000, ETH at 3,250, and Solana at 150. Meme coin market obviously followed the majors. They went down a lot, but they also have come back and bounced over the same period, with Solana meme coins, Mew, Hobbs, and Epic all up over 75%. Over the weekend, the top three stories were firstly, amid the crypto crash and after a year-long hiatus, highly respected and successful crypto trader GCR returned back to Twitter. He advised sidelined users to scale into high conviction tokens and urged those fully invested to hold your spot positions and do not capitulate. His tweet almost marked the local bottom of the weekend crash. Secondly, Tensor, they quickly responded to user feedback and allocated an additional 2.3% of Tensor token supply with the top 2,900 users, which will vest over 2 years. Sentiment amongst the top users was good as their awards now scale linearly with their contribution to the Tensor platform. That Tensor token currently sits at fully diluted market cap of 950 million. And lastly, esteemed art collector Cosimo de' Medici acquired obviously the Xcopy piece all-time high in the city. The acquisition price is still unknown, but this piece last sold for 5.2 million in January 2022. This purchase comes just 1 month after Cosimo purchased Xcopy when airdrop for 600K from Kevin Rose. That is all from the weather report. It is back to you folks in the studio.
Thanks for the weather report, Signal. Nick, did you see this? Xcopy is just selling like hotcakes right now. I know you've previously had some strong stances on this, but just continuing to dominate.
No, I haven't been paying attention to that, but so does that mean the floor price of the ones that I own are up?
You I don't own think Max they are.
Okay, well then it doesn't matter. Oh. Wow, really happy for the guy.
the one that Cosimo de' Medici that he picked up, this previously sold for I think over 5 million bucks. So I would be very curious to see how much you bought it for, but I've been seeing multiple of X copies worth selling in the last few weeks. So maybe things are picking up on the...
Wait, so you don't even know the price that it sold for?
I do. I do. I just didn't know it. Yeah. 5.2 million in January 2022.
Okay. And what did it sell for now?
It's unknown. It's a secret right now.
So you don't know the answer.
Of what this sold? Yeah, it's unknown. You know, we have our investigators on it right now. We're trying to, we got on-chain sleuths.
I'll give you a hint. Far less than it previously sold for. That's definitively what the situation is at this moment.
You think you got a steal for it?
Do I think? Have you been watching the market? What do you think? What do you think is going on? You think they're suddenly? Have you been seeing a lot of art sales on in the NFT side of things?
Well, yeah, actually, there's been a ton of X copy that's been selling recently. It's like there's an X copy like WhatsApp group, and all the people in that group have been buying X copy because it's obviously you've had Cosmo Medici, you had Raoul Paul, you've had all these people have been picking up X copy in and about the same time window. I feel like they're all in the same group chat. So, Nick, wake up. Yes, exactly as Bachelor Society says, wake up. It's been selling.
Wake up, Nick. When airdrop,
90% off is my guess.
This bad boy sold for 500k right here. Look at this.
Well, that's the same piece of all-time high in the city.
Sorry about that. This thing sold for 600k, and we're talking about when airdrop. So yeah, I've been seeing, and the flies, his flies open edition that he did on base, I think is up 4 or 5x from when people bought it. It's trading at like $8. Each one with the flies token doing well. But let's move on. Let's do some stories from the Daily Bone newsletter. You can go subscribe at dailybones.com. Very first story, we had Barrachain. They announced a $100 million Series B round. And this comes just months after raising 42 mil. So Barrachain, I've seen some people farming them and claiming that that's going to be a big airdrop. We'll see how that one plays out. Next story, Coinbase has requested an appeal in the case with the SEC to clarify if a crypto transaction is considered an investment contract or not. Next story, Mocha Coin. Mochaverse announced the tokenomics for their upcoming Mocha token. 53% is earmarked for community initiatives. Easy, I want to throw over to you very quickly. Do you have any thoughts on the tokenomics of this? Does this seem normal? I don't have as much experience on
that. Seems pretty straightforward, to be honest, when I look at it. I mean, network incentives is obviously going to be like the big question. Bootstrapping community growth, promoting our engagement within the network, and airdrop coming from something. So it seems like we're going to have another airdrop farm. Hopefully it's not the social dynamic of it. The supply is interesting. 8,888,888,888. Like that seems relatively high. So I think you're going to have like a low number theory with this because we've been seeing a lot of 1 billion supply tokens. Yeah, other than that, though, this seems relatively straightforward. Like nothing too crazy about this. Community sales seems a little bit low, 1.5%. They're keeping 5% for operational, 12% for the team with 10-month cliff. Not terrible. But the liquidity also feels a little low, like 10% into the liquidity pool. I'd like some more for that personally.
Interesting. Good to know. Mochaverse, for anyone curious, is holding.
That's less than what's his name put in for the Boba Pet, whatever.
Boba Opa.
Yeah, easy. How much did he put in?
I don't know. You still hold this easy, Boba Opa?
Still holding Boba Opa.
I sold mine for Nub.
I put about 40% into the liquidity for this. How's Nub doing?
I got up to like 70 mils feeling like a freaking hot shot. I was up like 2.5x.
Epic is the one that you're supposed to be holding. That's what Epic. Yes. How do I keep getting wins? I just don't talk about it. Like I literally.
Yeah, you just keep them to yourself. You're selfish. It's fine. Like it's totally fine. Like I'm cool with it. Keep the wins for yourself. Don't share it with the team. I before me.
So you got a big win on Epic, Nick? This was kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, this is OSF's token, right?
Yeah.
Mando.
Yeah, same thing.
Mando and Keyboard Monkey, not OSF.
Yep. Yeah, I like this one. What's the FTV? Is it 30 million?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see a world in which this doesn't hit, you know, at least 100 million. I feel like it should 3x from here easily.
We'll see. It was kind of wild that they just launched this during a stream, and it's just like, all right, let's run with it. Like
on Pumped Up Fun too. Like Pumped Up Fun, no care in the world. Just like, let's see what happens. Like, let it fly.
Should we just do that right now? You know, just
No.
All right. What are we doing?
Should we just pump launch token right now? Just Pumped Up Fun, dude. Let's just run it. Yeah, yo. Let's run it back. Next story from the Daily Digest.
Bitcoin season.
On-chain intelligence platform Arkham, they pointed out that, I don't know if this is true, but according to Arkham Intelligence, $250,000 worth of Yuga royalties have been going to a defunct FTX deposit address over the last 2 months. This is insane if it's true that Yuga is just funneling out $250,000 over the last 2 months of their royalties to an FTX address that doesn't exist anymore, but they did just, one Bored Ape did just sell for under 10 ETH this morning. Thank God I did not take that mutant bet with Easy. But next story, Based Punks, which is a CryptoPunk derivative that has led Base NFTs in the last 7 days. They revealed, we saw Alien sale at 5 ETH, and it currently holds a floor of 0.38 ETH. This is not bad at all. It's done 2,500 ETH in total volume, and this is on Base. It's a 5,000 collection. Easy, are you paying attention to this at all? This is very impressive for a Base NFT collection.
I got shilled this at 0.25 pre-reveal and just did not have money on Base. And someone was just like, dude, just trust me. Jesse Pollock's tweeting about it. It's worth it. Like, just take a flyer on it. They ended up going to like 0.7 pre-reveal. Like, absolutely ran. Yeah, I've kept some tabs on it. I don't hold any of them. But it's one of those ones, man. It's Base season, it's Blast season, it's L2 season. There's no reason to fade it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's. I haven't bridged any money over to Base, but it feels. I don't want to spread myself too thin, but this does feel like an ecosystem to at least keep tabs on. Appreciate that. Next story, we had CyberKongs. They announced a pre-runes collection called Prometheans, which will be distributed via a free airdrop, with 85% going to Ordinals collectors and 15% reserved for the CyberKongs community. Interesting. And then for upcoming mints today, we have Mutant Hounds. Little blast from the past here. They announced an Ordinals collection. This will be a 10K PFP collection released by the Mutant Hounds ETH collection, currently holding at a 0.13 ETH floor. Various stages of allow list starting at this morning at 8 a.m. and the public will be opening at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time tonight. The mint price is 0.0065 BTC. We'll see how that one does. But those are your stories from the Daily Digest. Let's get into the show. Nick and Easy, I would love to start with you guys just talking all things crypto price action. Nick, if you can pull up the charts and let us know what's been going on very briefly, because I believe I thought crypto was crashing before the whole Iran and Israel kind of a debacle that went on.
Man,
Bitcoin went from 71 to 61,000. Ethereum went from 3,500 to 2,900. Solana went from 175 to all the way down to, what was the low? It was 117. But
it went low, low, low.
Like Flo Rida. Okay. Nick, what are you seeing on the crypto price action front? You and Easy had a little bit of a back and forth last week about Solana's pullback. Both of you guys were right about the pullback coming. Your bottoms were both a little bit off, but I think, Nick, you were maybe a little bit closer, but I'm curious what you are seeing on the Solana price action front.
I mean, I don't love it. It attempted to break. So there's this level right here. Let me just draw this out for those that are watching on YouTube. This level, I would look for 155 to be broken or rejected. This is such a weird place to be at. This was the World War III anticipation dump, as we called for last week. The
inside sources that told us that there would be potential World War III conflict, only for it to then be thwarted 24 hours later. We were spot on.
So yeah, this whole situation, I don't know. It's difficult. There's obviously bigger factors driving the price action right now other than the technicals. Dude, my target that I had mentioned was 112 breaking down to. We got to like one. I feel like it went even lower. This says 122, but I thought we went lower. Then what happened was I stepped in and provided support. I tweeted about it. A lot of people were waiting for the signal. They saw that I had taken care of it. This was another level that I've been watching already before this happened the other day. Bitcoin looking real nice. Bitcoin's looking very strong. Solana, not so much. I think you still may have another entry opportunity. I don't think that we're over with this. I could be totally wrong. But for whatever reason, I just feel like we're not completely done. That said, you had an opportunity to add to the bag the other day. You still do, technically. I mean, Solana went as high as like almost 220. How high did we get? 210. What I will say, the amount of action in the market right now is
electric.
Is really solid. It feels bullish. These sorts of drops are anticipated at some point. The market was wildly hot. That said, like, I'm not exiting any like positions here. This is just, I think GC, what is it? GCR crypto.
Yeah.
That guy is, or girl, we don't know. They basically, I think, effectively summarize things. It's like, don't leave the market here.
Scale into your conviction tokens. And if you're already fully invested, hold on to your spot positions and do not capitulate. Easy, you said you have post notifications on for this guy. He's one of three people you have post notifications on for, and that you plowed
everything.
Plowed a bunch of money. I was like, dude, this Solana is when he tweeted this. Can you tell us more? Well, first off, for people that aren't familiar, who is GCR?
He went on like the craziest trading run last cycle, like one of the absolute completely on chain, transparent as ever. Shorted Luna from $90 to zero, and printed like $14 million off the trade. Had started with $1,000 and ran it up. I think he's sitting on a little over $100 million now. So he's like one of the greatest on-chain traders and has just been like crazy transparent with his tweets, sharing everything about what he does, why he does it, how he trades the markets. Guy's just awesome. Like, just awesome. Last year, he went completely quiet. Just like, just vanished. And was like, I'm retiring. I'm not charting Filecoin, Nick.
I've pulled up the major opportunity.
I'm not charting Filecoin, Nick.
Well, I am actually interested in just alts in general. From in the last 30 days, they've been getting clapped. We have Say down 37%, AVAX down 40%, Filecoin down only 32%. But they're back up to Nick's original, Nick's original purchase price of $6.30.
That wasn't my original purchase price.
I think it was.
Did you not watch my video? I said, they said Filecoin wasn't a buy at $5.
Well, I think you over-exaggerated.
I think you were embellishing slightly.
You definitely did.
Okay, let me find out I'll actually look it up and give you the exact number. But in the interim, that Filecoin chart is looking real nice.
Really?
Wow, I'm up significantly today, so that feels really good because I was looking at one of these accounts and I'm like, oh, this account's down $85,000 today. What the hell is going on? That's a tough one to look at. We're not going to say what my average buy price is.
So what is it? Filecoin, dude, I think it's like $7. I think
slightly higher.
Because I remember he like got FOMO and he got riled up and then he bought more live during the show.
All right, well, if I buy now, it lowers my average cost. I'll say that much.
It might be needed, man.
Real quick on the altcoin front, Easy, what I'm curious about, by like Beanie, for example, he said he's not buying back into alts until Bitcoin dominance gets closer to 70%. And we haven't seen that according to Rayar Research since November of 2020. Easy or Nick and Signal, you guys obviously have experience in the markets. What do you look for in terms of altcoin? Like what indicators do you watch for in terms of, hey, altcoins are going to perform well versus not perform well, or just put money into Bitcoin, Solana, and ETH and don't even think about alts for now?
Well, technically Solana is an alt, so like I do be considering that one. But okay. I look at most of that, you gotta look at the Bitcoin chop. Like how long is Bitcoin gonna consolidate for? A Bitcoin breakout leads to sell offs on alts. So like you basically want Bitcoin to kind of just trade in a range. I don't know if we're gonna get much higher than a 70%, maybe even like 80% seems outlandish, which would basically be a death sentence to a bunch of other stuff. I also look at the US dollar. That's like one of my favorite things, the DXY. I want to see the DXY get under like 102, maybe even under 100. I'd be quite happy.
Well, right now is the opportunity to visit Japan because dollar is
the sushi roll trade.
Against the, this isn't a sushi roll trade. This is just a get a discount on a hotel in Tokyo opportunity trade. And so if you're looking at visiting, we're around Sakura season. And so that's where you want to be hanging out in Tokyo. This is the best time of year. It's also the best time to be hanging out in New York. I'll be honest. The weather suddenly got nice. But despite looming clouds of destruction, this has been looking all right. Yeah, the DXY on an absolute tear. I saw someone tweet about this and arguing that there's another leg up to the DXY here. We'll see what happens. But this is looking very strong at the moment. Any rally in this, I'll be honest, the strength of Bitcoin is very impressive at this point. If we can see DXY give us another leg up and Bitcoin sustain at all, which it has been, I mean, then I'll be buying the hell out of all this, like all crypto at that point, if we got another leg up and Bitcoin stays, because eventually it has to turn around, right? Like DXY can't just indefinitely go up, right?
No shot in hell. It's got to cool off at some point. Like, I want price to go lower, much lower. Like, send it sub 100.
So okay. This is the weekly. Is this the all time high? This 120. Nope.
No.
Definitively not.
So some people were asking in the comments what the U.S. dollar index means. What's the indicator here?
It means the price of the 1985. So this would have been, was that when inflation like exploded? I believe
85
is when we saw 16% interest from the Fed, yes. some insane amount like that. Easy, you were around then. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was actually, I was, growing up in the trenches during the time, fighting through the mud to establish dominance with the dollar's inflation rates. It's also the other thing here is
if the mortgage was 13% at that point in time.
So this means if it goes like, what if the U.S. government just goes ahead and prints a bunch of money to
it
fund?
It goes down.
It goes down. Okay.
So 1981 looks like the peak of the mortgage rates here, which is also when I'm assuming they were trying to curb inflation the most. It's been down since. But yeah, that was the peak there. So my 1983 number is not 100% spot on, but all this is showing is the strength of the dollar relative to other things. And in this case, oftentimes it's other foreign currencies, the euro, the Japanese yen, and theoretically against crypto. Is one of the other assets that you would be looking at this against. That said, crypto has been pumping in the face of the dollar pump, and that's something that's as bullish as you possibly can get. with Bitcoin flying despite the strength of the dollar. Dude, I mean, this just looks good as far as I like. Bitcoin's been so resilient here. It's pretty impressive. It makes me want to. I bought a little more Bitcoin this weekend, and I bought some Solana. Those were the two things that I added to. And those are the two things, the primary two things that I'll keep adding to.
Easy, you just bought Solana, right?
Just Solana. Yeah, large acquisition of the Solana coin.
And is
so
it
basically so easy? So, I was going to say, so basically, like whether you are looking at the charts or not looking at the charts, essentially we remain in a bull environment, and any of the pullbacks on the alt are just an opportunity to add to the bag for the coins that you have the highest conviction in. So, even if you don't do technical analysis, that is basically what the guys are saying. We're in a bullish environment, pullbacks on coins that you like, you buy. Price will go up eventually because Bitcoin has been incredibly resilient up until this point.
That's the main thing. Like, we're still in a bull market. So if you should expect 30% pullbacks, to be completely honest. Like, until we break an upward momentum, just the trend is your friend.
You said dips are for buying, right? One of the things am I getting too cute looking at things like Jupe at $1? I'm like, hey, that looks...
It looks interesting. It looks very interesting. That at $1 looks very interesting.
I haven't been tracking the price of Jupe. How high did it go?
240.
What?
Dude, Jupe might be a buy here. Get Jupe up on the board, Nick. So it got
Jupe on the board.
Put that thing up. I don't know if it got to two. I see it at $1. It got as high as $1.88.
Oh, I thought it broke two.
$1.90.
What the hell was I looking at then? Was that what wormhole open up at?
Wormhole is a different story.
Things like 40 cents. I wouldn't touch that thing with a 1,000-foot pole.
Yikes!
Yeah. I like this Jupe chart, man.
Look at the history here. I mean, what an incredible chart this is.
Is that the weekly on Jupe?
Smallest chart.
That's the weekly on Jupe, right?
Sorry, we were on the weekly. I'm gonna have to go down to the daily to actually give us a chart that looks.
We're talking.
I mean, you're trying to catch a falling knife here. If I'm looking at the technicals,
strictly from the technicals, from a trader's perspective, you're not buying Jupe here, Nick.
I mean, what? Well, there's not enough history here. Where's the support? Maybe here, 95 cents. I have no idea. I mean, this looks pretty tough to actually have any sort of. I mean. Everything is down. That's the current position on this. But maybe you catch it here.
Okay. I mean, I would buy it and literally just stake it for.
I just don't see any, like, this chart doesn't have enough history. And we're sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I mean, I was just curious about that. The very last thing, crypto price action related. And again, I might be getting too cute. Pio, feel free to step in. Meme coins. Again, last 7 days, WIF down 30%. Bonk down 33%. Dude, I'm just getting clapped on that thing.
What was the game plan? Was the game plan buy it and then sell it?
Yeah, but I staked it, so I can't. I was like, I'm going to want to sell it. I'm going to want to paper hand this thing, so I'm just going to stake it. So I've got like, $5,000 just staked in Bonk right now for 6 months.
And what's your current track record over the past like 3 months, basically, out of all, how many trades have you made and how many have you won?
Actual trades or paper trades? Because I've made some paper trades that were a downright disaster. I've made some, like last week on Friday, I was like, I'm going to buy Nub or I didn't actually make the trade. I'm like, I'm buying Nub here at 40 mil instead of the Pups token. And then Pups did a 75% little cookerino after Arthur Hayes started pumping it.
Unexpected. That I didn't see that one coming. Let me tell you, that is not something I saw coming.
It's literally just like every time I fade it, a new like giga inflow or like OG just
all time high, just all time high after all time high. Like that one went to $120, went back to 40. You were like, yeah, maybe I buy this. Like it looks pretty good. Arthur Hayes pulls up and he's like, I'm buying Pups. Yeah. Send it higher.
Dude, Arthur, like nobody saw that coming. That's preposterous. Like, that's like if Dan Hell just came out of the blue and was like, yeah, like we're going to pump this thing. Like, I don't know.
We are. I mean, on that note, and Trevor's going to join us in 5 minutes or so to talk more about this. Ordinals, despite the like the panic dump that we saw, Ordinals literally didn't budge. We saw Node Monkeys even rally. They reflipped puppets. We got Rune Pups at 0.14 Bitcoin. Quantum Cats, 0.38. A little bit of a rally there. OMB's at 0.45. Runestone's at 0.08. I mean, this is very wild to see. And like the level of conviction that I'm seeing from Ordinals holders about runes and pups specifically, obviously they have a large bag, but the level of like unwavering conviction that they have is kind of wild to me. I'm curious to ask Trevor when we have him on if runes is going to live up to the expectations. Udi tweeted about it, saying that like runes is basically not, it's going to kind of be a nothing burger almost because of the increased congestion that's going to come. And like the use of like being able to buy these compared to like Solana and Ethereum is going to be a downright disaster. But Easy, I'll throw over to you real quick. Is there anything that sticks out to you on the Ordinals front? For me, what was like surprising was NFTs. When we have crypto volatility, NFTs are a disaster, right? On Solana and Ethereum, we've seen that. And Ordinals continues to break that trend. So I'm curious if you have anything in particular you're watching for on the Ordinals front.
On the Ordinals front, OMBs are probably the most interesting here just due to supply and current price action. It's like if you have half a Bitcoin right now, you can either pick a Pups, a Node Monkey, or an OMB. And it's kind of like, which one would you pick here? But on top of that, like, I don't think I'm buying an Ordinals here with runes dropping basically this weekend. Like, there is zero interest of me buying JPEGs when you have a new meme coin meta standard launching with a ton of stuff already being planned for it. Ticker's already going live. People anticipating what the price action is going to be. Yeah, like, I don't want to buy any of that right now when there's potentially liquid meme coins dropping in an absolute disgusting rate this weekend.
And you're talking, go ahead.
Sorry, Clemente, just to add there as well. I mean, the volatility in Bitcoin in this precise moment, I wouldn't think would affect Ordinals because of the two major catalysts of the halvening coming up and you've got runes. And secondly, I really don't think it's, for me, it's a nothing burger if there are problems at the beginning, if, you know, if Magic Eden's site is getting attacked or anything like that. Because remember that chart that it was Leonidas that put out, and he was showing the market caps of the different cryptocurrency markets. So Solana, there was Bitcoin, there was Ethereum, and he had like pre-runes at like 0.09 billion. Like, that's the market that we're going after in long term. So even if there are problems at the beginning, it's really going to be like, what is going to happen over the next 3 to 6 or 12 months? What is going to be dog whiff hat over on runes in 12 months time? I think that's what people should be looking at, because the hype and the speculation right now in runes feels very, very frothy. And with the whole like people setting up nodes, not knowing what they're doing, obviously we've got Trevor coming on, which is great, but the majority of people who don't have the education, you either invest your time doing that stuff now, or you just wait for things to play out and then pick the coins once you see what has the most attention.
Yeah, I mean, look, we have Trevor Owens himself joining us here. This is the founder of Pizza Ninjas. This is a serial entrepreneur. He wrote the book on the lean startup. Trevor, what's going on, amigo?
Didn't Eric Reeves write the book?
Yeah, that was Eric, but I worked with him, and he's a brilliant guy. Guys, I mean, this is the final week here. This is the final countdown. Runes is coming on Friday. It's going to be the Super Bowl of the whole industry. I think it's the easiest play of this cycle. And I want to make sure I was here because Clemente was just not doing justice to the opportunity all last week. So great to be here.
Okay, so why is it the play of, like today it's the play of the cycle in your mind?
100%. I think it's just the lowest risk, highest upside opportunity that we're probably going to see this cycle.
Okay, and meaning any rune or some specific ones?
Just like the overall like sort of lottery system, let's say, or the overall odds that you have going into the system. I mean, when you look at fungible tokens on Ethereum, for example, in 2021, they represented a market cap about half of ETH's market cap. And so if you look at Bitcoin, there are no fungible tokens. I mean, you guys showed the chart just a second ago, but we're talking about an opportunity that's going to be on the scale of, you know, potentially double Ethereum based on the numbers right now. So getting at the ground floor on the start of the halving, there's going to be basically a rush from all the meme coins. There's going to be a rush from all of the projects as well that are building actual protocols and platforms on Bitcoin to launch Arun. They want to be early in the first 1,000 to 10,000. I expect within a few hours, there's going to be like 10,000 new runes launched, and majority of them are going to be able to be minted for free. And so what that means is they're going to be open claims that only cost gas. And so it's going to be absolute chaos, but there's going to be, you know, multiple winners created in this one event. And if you are just on the ball ready and here present, then you probably stand the greatest chance of being able to get in at ground zero.
Real quick, you said this is the first, like you're comparing it to the meme coin side of Ethereum. There's BRC20 tokens already. So how does this differ from this? And why do you think that this has so much more upside? And when is my OXBT bag that I bought, like when that was a thing, going to return?
Did you buy it or did you get it for free?
That's a good question.
But anyway, Trevor.
Yeah, so the reality is that Runes is just is far technically superior. It also has Casey Rottamore, the creator of Ordinals, behind it. So it has solid
fundamentals. The Ordfather.
Yeah, I mean, it has like all the things that you're looking for. It has a sort of like a cult-like, you know, founder behind it who has honestly earned the spot because he created, you know, one of the most meaningful protocols on Bitcoin since the beginning. And then like from an indexing perspective, so BRC20, the way it works is that it's actually built on top of Ordinals. It's like JSON, and it's an account-based system that doesn't really integrate with Bitcoin very well. Casey kind of flipped the script and took a UTXO-based approach. He put it outside of the current Ordinals protocol. And what that means is that it's much simpler to index. And so when it comes to building DeFi, when it comes to building other protocols on top of a fungible token standard, Runes is going to be the winner, pretty much out of the gate because of just how simple it is for developers to build on. The entire protocol is about 500 lines of code. We had an issue with BRC20 where when you have these indexing problems, what happens is people's balances end up being incorrect. And so in December, there was an issue where Binance had a $100 million gap or indexing conflict between the indexer that they were using and another indexer. And so with Runes, because it's so simple, the odds of that happening are much less likely and it's more decentralized, which means that the propensity for people to put capital in the system is going to be much higher.
Okay, real quick, I just want to break that down a little bit so there might be audience members that are unfamiliar with, you know, Runes and you know, BRC20. So basically, BRC20 within the Ordinals protocol?
It's a separate protocol that is using the Ordinals like witness space. So basically, Ordinals stores data in a certain part of a Bitcoin transaction, and then Ordinals identifies those as Ordinals, right? Mm-hmm. BRC20 just use that space to put JSON in there and then to index that JSON after the fact. And so you have like two layers of indexers where the BRC20 indexer is using the Ordinals indexer to basically identify BRC20s. And that creates problems because there could be bugs in the Ordinals indexer. And then there can also be bugs on the BRC20 indexer. Okay. So you have as you stack these protocols on top of each other, they become more and more brittle. And so the actual simplicity of the base level of the indexing is super important for the stability of the whole system. And so that's why Casey made, you know, a super simple system for Runes.
And one more quick question. Sorry, Nick, and please hold that thought, Nick. So do you predict that BRC20 becomes obsolete because of Runes?
I don't think so. I think that there may be other use cases for it. And I think that actually some of the indexing problems can be solved with enough resources. The issue is that the indexing problem doesn't grow linearly with BRC20. So in order to find transactions that are related to each other in BRC20, you have to scan all inscriptions. So there's like, you know, 70 million inscriptions. In order to find the inscription, the data where I minted a BRC20 and then I sent it to Pio and then Pio sent it to Nick sent it to Signal sent it to Clemente and so on, you have to scan through all 70 million inscriptions. With Runes, it's actually built on top of Bitcoin's native index using UTXOs, which means that you don't need to do that. You can just basically use Bitcoin's native index and just call a database function, and it will, and you'll, and you will be able to see, to, instead of scanning 70 million, I can just scan based on the number of transactions that were sent. So, because you can trace directly within Bitcoin where one UTXO came from.
So the basically you're saying that the quote like database or the index here is more native in this format versus a third party indexing system that needed to be developed, and so it already works and you can use native calls to Bitcoin in order to compute the value or the quantity of these items essentially, which is
exactly
which is what you're looking for with these things. So if it's just built on Bitcoin, the only thing that needs to happen is that, like, essentially any systems like wallets, wallet providers, marketplaces, things like that, they just need to develop their own sort of querying interface for determining like who owns what, essentially. Like, but there is a little bit of development work that needs to be done there in order to just support it. But it's more minimal and it's dependent on something that's already being indexed, most likely by these providers.
100%. And I think just Casey's a proven, you know, open source project leader. He's got everybody behind him. The name is cool. And this right now, this feels like, you know, being at Ordinals in the beginning, right? This feels like a year ago, you could go back in time. You're getting a second chance here. You didn't ape into the first 1,000 inscriptions. You didn't ape into the first 10,000 inscriptions. You get to ape into the first 1,000 runes. And, you know, we've been sounding the alarm. You know, you miss it once, don't miss it twice.
I have a quick question, Trevor. So I'm on, correct me if I'm wrong, but people are setting up their own nodes, right? Especially within the Pizza Ninja Discord, to set them up to be able to etch these runes basically in the beginning. They're going to be, won't transaction fees be very, very high to do so? So you're kind of spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars trying to get, basically take shots and hoping one lands, right? And basically what you're saying is that, yes, you're going to be wrong with a lot of them in terms of which one actually does well versus not. But the one that you do get right is going to have outsized gains that are going to then make up for the ones you get wrong.
So, sorry, 100%. I just want to ask a clarify, or like just piggyback on that real quick. Sorry. So people are setting up their own nodes. I did see you talking about that. It's in your Discord and people are following it. But Clemente, I don't understand like what you're... So there's two separate things. One is, let's first start with what currently exists. There's like these rune stones and things like that, because you said there's 1,000. The easiest play right now would just be to buy one of those?
The first 10, you mean?
I don't know where this number is coming from, because you said the first 10, the first 1,000. How do I get that? And then separately, what is the node thing that Clemente is talking about?
Yep. So Casey put some very interesting kind of things into runes. He's a very, I would say, intelligent protocol designer, probably one of the best. Just like in inscriptions, we had these like low numbers. We're going to have the same thing with runes. So there's going to be provenance associated with every single rune that's deployed. And so that creates a shelling point. That creates a place where people are going to mainly focus on the first 100 or the first 1,000. And people that are able to etch the first 1,000 are going to have, you know, those additional eyeballs, some bragging rights, the ability to say my number is lower than yours, you know, these kind of things. And so that's where most people are going to be looking in that first 100. I think those are certainly going to be etched in the first block. So literally block 840,000, which is going to happen around midnight on Saturday. So the end of Friday. And so it'll be likely that we have probably 10,000 within, you know, an hour to 2 hours of that halving. And everybody is trying to do the sort of BRC20 meta, which is free and fair mint, which is you put it out there, you let as many people mint it as possible for these non-utility tokens specifically, and you build a community around it, you have something that's funny, and then you get listed by centralized exchanges like, you know, OKX, Binance, who are certainly going to list multiple of these within the first 6 weeks or 8 weeks, you know, depending on how quickly they can get their act together. these are different than the pre-runes, right? So the pre-runes that you see on Magic Eden, these are promises of future runes. You're promising to airdrop them. Those are likely going to be delayed several weeks. They will probably not be the first ones listed on centralized exchanges. It'll probably be one that comes out of the gate on the halving. And, you know, maybe one or two of them could be, but you have to keep in mind, it's going to be so expensive for these teams to airdrop them, you know, upwards of $500,000 to $1 million due to the expected network fees in the first week. And so they're going to wait 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before they do that airdrop. Otherwise, just going to be flushing money down the toilet, right? And, you know, so that's the trade-off, is that they're building community now. They're getting distribution. They're getting awareness. But they're going to be not the first on the jump on the halving, most likely, because they can't do, they have to airdrop. They can't do a free and fair claim by just etching it and letting people claim it, because they already are entitled to airdrop it to certain people, meaning they're going to front the cost. And so the reason to run a Bitcoin node is because everything is like being done in real time. Like Casey may be updating the Ord software in the next few days. He just posted an update yesterday, I believe. You know, there could be last minute foreseen bugs. Everything is coming together last minute, and none of the software has been tested live. I mean, the protocol is not live on mainnet, right? So everyone is going live at the same time on the halving on mainnet. And so, as you know, Nick, because you've built lots of software, you've built lots of companies before, that's not a great recipe if you're to count, to like depend on it, right? Like, you don't want to depend on software that hasn't been tested and is launching when there's like hundreds of thousands of people, you know,
dying to use this stuff, right? Like,
so the only guarantee is to use Casey's software yourself on the command line. All those tools are going to be using his software under the hood. And so if you want the highest chance of not like having the site crash, then you want to have a Bitcoin node and you want to have Ord running yourself.
Trevor.
Go ahead. I was going to say, so there's a couple of things here. One is setting up your own node slash running the software locally, essentially. And what Clemente was talking about, firing things off, what it sounds like is essentially paralyzing your attempts to somehow, it's not called inscribe, it's in this case, it's called what?
Mint and etch. So etching is deploying and minting is just minting.
Okay. And the reason that you're racing here is because there's going to be the chance that you fail to etch. Why would something fail to etch? Is that because gas fees are so high and you get a failed transaction on Bitcoin? Is that the main reason that would happen?
So there's no failed transactions on Bitcoin unless you are trying to buy an ordinal through an atomic swap, right? With the way that they're traded. But when it comes to runes and etching and minting, the transaction will just go through, but you just won't get one, right? Because this is a protocol outside of the Bitcoin network. And so the reason that people are, you know, worried about this, or to address your question, it comes down to when you're deploying, you want to get a low number, right? So you want to get sub 100, sub 1000. So you're going to pay higher gas to, you know, get in before other people. And then it comes to minting, like, yes, these are going to mint out. And you want to make sure that you get in at the right time before the runes are minted out. But your transaction will still go through and you'll lose the gas.
I don't understand how a transaction goes through, but the etching doesn't work. Like, what? Like, is it like flying by and you're trying to attach?
So, Nick, it's literally like on ETH, where like you go to mint something and your transaction quote fails. With etching, it's based on a sequence of numbers. Just like ordinals, when you inscribe, when they're inscribing the collection, when ordinals were really early, like sub 100K, they were like, and if you inscribed in this range of numbers, it's included in the collection. If it's out of that range, it's not included. So like, if you had Bitcoin punks, for example, it was each unique punk of the 10K. There's multiple duplicates that are in like the 20K range, 30K range, 40K range that are not part of the collection. So with etching, you're going to etch. It goes through, you have a rune, but it's not part of the official rune collection.
What? So because it's a race to do so, does that mean that like 100% of them will actually, that's so confusing. Like
it's going to be a dumpster fire.
I hear what you're saying. I also think back to when Ordinal first came out, it wasn't just a straight up ride. Like there was, there were a lot of people buying early ordinals, and it was all happening on spreadsheets. But I feel like we saw a pump.
Ordinals are dead, Nick. Ordinals are dead. Yeah, remember, for 6 months.
Which just feels like it's what we're talking about is the highest risk play right now. I guess the hope is that you get something to push through at that. But I also don't. There's something that is confusing there. So did we all collectively agree, let's call it, that some given collection, similar to Easy's ordinals analogy here, which is he was saying that the official collection, I'm using just straight integers for this. I don't know the way that this is structured, but let's call it, it falls within the range of 10,000 to 15,000. And that there were 3,000 items that existed within that, and that's the collection. Some of them got minted on number 20,000, but it's just the index is not taking care of that. Does 100% of these things get like, is there 100% chance that all of them get indexed in that range? And how did we all agree that those were the numbers that this takes place within? If that makes sense, like, who's agreeing to this thing? Is it just like I obviously that's probably all defined in a protocol definition somewhere, which is beyond the scope of where this conversation should probably go, simply because it's just not entertaining to listen to. But I am just wildly confused about like how that's being defined and who's agreeing to this like thing. Like, is it the software is agreeing to it?
Yeah,
we all okay.
There's a number in the software for every single etch, for every single deployment, and so there's a rune zero, which Casey is going to hard code into the system. It's called uncommon goods. Anybody can mint it for free, one of them, for the next 4 years. It's probably going to be a proxy on the network fees. So you're going to only, the price and secondary is going to be relative to the cost of what it would cost to mint a new one until the halving. You may hard code another 9 ones, but we're not sure yet. Otherwise, the number 2 to 10 are going to be up for grabs. Number 11 to 100 are going to be up for grabs. And people are just loading up. Like, people are going to be paying at least one Bitcoin, you know, just in fees to claim these early runes. And, you know, everybody's chomping at the bit because we know what's going to happen, but because we know so much is going to happen, it's going to be complete chaos. And that everybody is using this one moment as a shelling point to not only deploy capital, but to launch projects. And for exchanges, like, the entire ecosystem is in one place at one time, putting in capital, looking to list new tokens, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So,
go ahead. Sorry. Okay. I get this early number metadata that you're talking about, which we saw in ordinals as well. But when that goes away 3 months from now, 6 months from now, when no one's talking about this is the first 1,000, this is the first 10,000. How is value being assigned to runes? Like, how will the community say this particular rune is valuable, even though it's outside of this number range, which is valued by the market, in the same way how ordinals has evolved, in that the early collections have their value, but the other ones who are outside of those early numbers have attained value today?
Yeah, and just to add to that, Trevor, I have three questions. Sig just basically asked one of the three. And just to add to that, what is like the future? Like, how does this impact the future of Bitcoin's ecosystem? Like, 2 years, like, what could come from this? Because something can come. It's not just tokens on Bitcoin. Like, are DeFi protocols going to be born? Or are you going to see startups like, trust machines have their own native tokens? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Pio. I mean, at the halving, this is going to be an all-you-can-eat shitcoin buffet on Bitcoin.
Right. That's what, like, our audience right now is thinking, is like, how do I, you know, get one of these shitcoins and then liquidate it and have there be some sort of delta of money made, right? Like, that's what people are thinking about. But this is bigger than that.
Of 100%. There's something.
And that is going to happen. You're going to see tweets where it's like, I made $1 million off runes. You're going to see all that. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is not just, you know, the all you can eat shitcoin buffet. This is the start of DeFi on Bitcoin. Because as I mentioned earlier, with BRC20s, there were a lot of indexing issues. There are a lot of potential risks with the indexing, even with the political aspects around the protocol in terms of the corporate interest in it. And with this, it's KC. It's the best, you know, open source leader. He's proven himself. He launched Ordinals, and the tech is like an order of magnitude easier to index, which means that building DeFi and other protocols on top of it are going to be much more stable. And also you can get more functionality out of it.
You're a big proponent of the former or active Bitcoin layer two things like Stacks and thing like Stacks protocol. What have we just like, is that basically not a thing anymore? Like why would one build on that when it appears that there's these layer one protocols that exist, which is Ordinals and runes? Like why would these layer twos occur? And I guess it's primarily because there's scalability benefits to doing that for like financial transactions and things of that nature. But why aren't there going to be like, I mean, if Ordinals pissed off Bitcoin maxis, this has to be pissing them off even more, because now you're just talking about congesting. You're like, well, we already took 60% of the network transactions. We're now going to move that up to 85% of the network transactions. So you can't get a single fucking purchase of Bitcoin through. Like what, like why this and why not that? Why layer one protocols and why not like Lightning, Stacks, any of these other things that like there was a lot of hope at one point in time that this would be the path forward.
Yeah, I mean, still super bullish on L2s. I think that, you know, L2s is one of going to be the biggest themes of this cycle and the most important opportunities to get into. And then one of the lowest risk, highest upside opportunities. And it just comes down to the L1 is going to become too expensive to use, period. And the only people who are going to use L1 are going to be L2s. You know, the only people who are going to use L1 are going to be the L2s who are settling down to L1, because in order for Bitcoin to reach mass adoption, there's just not enough room for transactions, and it'll be too expensive for people who are coming in at like 100K or, you know, $1 million per Bitcoin to even do anything. And so L2s are going to be great. This is good for L2s. This gives L2s a more thriving ecosystem to scale, right? You need something, you need users and use cases to scale in order to have an L2, you know, be viable, right? So that's the first thing. And the second thing, sorry, Nick, what was your second question?
No, literally the question was why this, not that, like, or why this or right. That, like the, I don't, you know, I wasn't as familiar with like the L2 side of things. I know that there's like an SDK for Stacks. I know that the Lightning Network, I've seen like transactions that happened. There was a lot of hope for it. And then we just haven't seen adoption of the Lightning Network was an example of this. And like, what's interesting, I mean, there's so many things that are fascinating about this, from like the level of development activity that's taking place here in contrast to like Ethereum, for example. Like Ethereum is supposedly the, I mean, it was inspired by Bitcoin. Like literally Vitalik was like deep in the Bitcoin like world. It's interesting to see all this development happening on Bitcoin specifically, but I'm also just wondering why they're choosing to use that L1 protocol versus operating on one of these L2s. And Will, you seem bullish on L2s, but is that in the face of any actual practical evidence other than your own personal investments? Like, what is the driver for that? Like, in all honesty, like what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the way I think of L1 and L2 is like a restaurant with two floors, right? And so if you come into the restaurant and there's no one eating on the first floor, then the waitress or waiter is going to seat you on the first floor. If the restaurant is packed on the first floor, then they're going to take you upstairs and sit you down at a table on the second floor. And so L1 has to be so congested that you can barely even consider using it. We're not there yet with Bitcoin L1. We will get there, and we'll be there when Runes launches as well. And so it needs to be sustainable, and you will directly see that when the L1 is very congested, activity on the L2s will pick up. I mean, it's just like Ethereum, right? So on Ethereum, we saw how all the most valuable assets are on L1. And then, you know, Polygon and other networks are more used for lower value use cases like Starbucks rewards programs, like gaming, where you have, you know, tons of different assets. But the most valuable stuff is on the L1. It's on the base layer with the highest security and longevity guarantees. And that's no different than on Bitcoin. So a lot of people are going to launch their token, launch their projects on L1. And then when they want 5-second trading times, or they want, you know, lower fees for their users, those users are going to bridge their assets over to the L2, and then they'll be in a low fee environment. But a lot of the most valuable stuff is only going to move to L2 proportional to the cost of using the L1. And so without tons and tons of users on L1, L2s cannot exist. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I also just find the whole L2 thing like quite, because we're seeing just on, when you look at EVM compatible chains that exist, there's like hundreds or at least dozens that I'm aware of. And I'm guessing that there's probably, we're like in the 100+ range at this point in time. And it's very difficult to sort of foresee. Each of those individual things require a similar adoption, sort of like it needs broad adoption in that it's a completely different product essentially. And so like to say that like Lightning or that Stacks or that whatever, that like fill in the blank with, I'm sure there will be another one that that pops up at some point, is going to be the one, is really difficult for me, because primarily because it's not like the inventor of Bitcoin in this case, who obviously is MIA, but that's the person that's advocating for a specific like L2 and why that one is even going to like get adopted. The whole ramble about this is simply that this is a crazy thing. Like this is just accelerating that push towards it, basically. That it runes, ordinals, everything else is just congesting the network and pushing us further towards that path, where we need to somehow collectively agree that this is the de facto L2, if that makes sense.
So hold on. So real quick, couple things, Nick. If I could step in, Trevor, for a moment, the way that I think about it, if I really simplify it as a non-technical person, someone that's not a software engineer, so on and so forth. And I also didn't mean to hijack Sig's question before, so I want to actually make sure we get back to that one quickly. We're going to run a little bit long here. This is like really juicy. The rune stuff is obviously insanely juicy. But real quick, Nick, there doesn't have to be one L2 to rule them all, right? There really doesn't. And the fact that Lightning has, I mean, look, I'm going to get roasted for this, but the fact that Lightning maybe has failed a little bit, like the whole world can't operate with Lightning. Like ask Udi or Eric Wall what the deal is with Lightning, and they'll give you like, they're both engineers, they'll give you like a technical, like Udi wanted Lightning to be the big thing, but it couldn't support, you know, the scale that's required of something like Lightning. It's working pretty well in El Salvador, but if you want to scale it to the whole world, we don't know if that'll happen yet. I think that this is what you're talking about is the incentivization of L2s to be built and to actually work. And it's almost more of like startup sort of approach, like getting a product that actually wins the market over.
Well, my whole statement, the reason I said it was ultimately it makes sense. And Vitalik had said this with Ethereum, with NFTs, who's like, move the NFTs to L2. That's where they should be operating. The problem is you're talking about bridging, Trevor, which to me is just like an added level of complexity that feels unnecessary to some degree. Obviously, all of us want it on the L1 because that's like the place where it's going to be forever. And that's a more secure place to be. The reason that I bring up these sort of theoretical questions is it's like, if I'm someone that owns one of these NFTs, if I have a piece of art, and you're telling me that it's off in some storage place where no one's really using it. It's in the Arctic. Like it's some place that like no one gives a shit. And it's impossible. What's that?
Antarctic sounds cool.
Well, it may actually be on another planet, frankly. And the biggest problem is if spaceships no longer can travel to those planets, you're completely fucked. It's like, great, I sold you a plot of land on Mars, but we're never getting back there because like some like tech, you know what I'm saying? And so I think from that standpoint, it's like, if that planet becomes deserted, why the fuck do I want to have my assets on that planet? So to sort of, I guess as a counter to what Pio just said, you said, I don't know, it doesn't matter which one you're on. I'm saying if I'm owning an asset, I want it to be on a planet where people are hanging out, basically.
But I like think that. You might be thinking of it in a way that's different than the way that it'll actually manifest. And Trevor would be better to kind of respond to this. But I mean, think about it with Lightning, like your assets, like you still have your Bitcoin, right? Like at the end of the day, it's not like it's living on Lightning. Like Trevor, could you actually just sort of expand on this? Like, yeah, I don't know if Nick's thinking about it exactly correct here.
What I would say, I think ultimately is that this is Ethereum's problem right now. And I wish Ethereum luck in solving it. And I think Ethereum will solve it. And I think Bitcoin's just going to copy the solution like we did with Ordinals and like we're doing with Runes. So, you know, how this plays out in terms of the fragmentation of liquidity on L2s, you guys on Ethereum, but like, let us know when you get the answer and we'll copy.
Put on the best chain. Bang. Dunzo.
Dunzo.
No, but
let's go. Just, go figure it out, Ethereum.
Pa. Okay, well, one quick question, Trevor, on kind of the trading side of it. It sounds like there's kind of three or four plays that people have been making to or can make in terms of runes, right? The first one is buying pre-runes, which we've seen kind of the mania take off with R6, with runestones, rune pups, etc. The other one is what people are doing with Pizza Ninjas, is setting up their own nodes and trying to get in like as early as possible. These high friction, they're going to be shoot, like it's high difficulty, but it should pay off handsomely for a lot of people. The third is buying like a week later, buying some of these runes when inscription fees are lowering and paying a premium for that. And the thought process is when these get listed on exchanges, that'll increase the buying pressure that people can take advantage of over time. I saw you shaking your head at the third one.
I don't know. I don't know why the strategy is to take a 10x instead of a 10,000x. You know what I mean? So you want to get in on day one. You want to be in the first block. Okay, the pre runes. A lot of the price discovery is done. Okay, so you know there's definitely upside with those, especially if you pick the right ones. But they're already trading on secondary. The mint is over. The airdrop is over. These are all free. This is 10,000 free tokens.
But you're paying transaction fees, is what I'm saying. Like there's, you're going to pay hundreds of dollars with it in order.
Yeah.
To-
and so in the worst case scenario, that's going to be less than 0.01 Bitcoin. Yep. Like that's going to be the limit. And like would that in like probably in the first couple blocks, it'll be like that. But more likely, you're paying double zero or triple zero per mint, okay, on day one. And so like you're not paying that much. It's almost free, right? And so it's all going to be about discovery, about there's going to be like 10,000 of them right away.
Yeah.
It's going to be about looking at what they look like. There has to be an inscription attached to every rune, so there's a little bit of like some artistic elements to actually deploying it. You're going to be looking at who got the early numbers, which ones are funny. And again, there's going to be a lot of like legit companies, legit builders who are not just building meme coins, but they're building, a DEX or a lending protocol or whatever else. And they're going to launch tokens as well. And your time to like, everything is going to happen at once. This is like 6 months of future product launches happening within 1 hour. Okay. All on Bitcoin. And so, and majority of them are going to be free to mint. So that's like the alpha. Like if you are going somewhere this weekend, call up whoever you have plans with, cancel the plan. Literally, it's scheduled for midnight on Friday. I'm sleeping all day Friday. I'm waking up. Okay. I am studying the biography of David Blaine to learn how to sit in this chair for the next week straight and not move. Okay. So this is like the easiest layup of the cycle. You're not going to get another chance like this. Don't fumble the bag.
All right. So real quick. So this is kind of a little bit of the opposite of that. I just got like a couple things that we're going to wrap. So you brought up DeFi on Bitcoin and lending on Bitcoin, right? Real quick. I just want to make sure people are thinking about this the right way. You have to think about it not as something where it's like leverage. It's not, like when we talk about like a legitimate lending you know, type of infrastructure built on Bitcoin. It's like the important part of that isn't so that some degen guy can do a Sharkify style loan to get like six SOL so that he can be like, yeah, I'm going to turn it into 12. Like, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, like, you have millions of dollars of Bitcoin in 15 years because you've been a hodler and you want to buy a new property. And instead of going through the traditional financial system and doing some sort of bank loan situation, you use a, you know, blue chip, top tier, established, you know, trustworthy lending protocol built natively on Bitcoin. You pay way less in fees. You don't have to go through a background check. You just have this much Bitcoin. So you're able to borrow this much money with this LTV, right? Like, that's, it's very simple. But I think a lot of people have thought about lending in the context of basically degen activity. And we're like, no, we're talking about like real proper, you know, old people lending, right? And obviously that's going to end up in the crypto ecosystem properly. That's like what disruption looks like, right? So that's number, that's the one thing I wanted to talk about. Number two, just to go back to Sig's question, I agree with you. There's going to be an ass load of people that make an ass load of profits over the next few weeks. Oh my goodness. It is going to be wild. It's going to be the same thing as Ordinals, right? After 6 months, what does the trading infrastructure look like for this? And let's not go too long on this. And then I just have two super duper rapid fire questions that we can get through. But I want to just get back to Sig's question real quick.
Yeah, so I mean, all the major players again are launching at the same time as Runes launches. So it'll just depend on how stable their platforms are and how many more changes there are to the Runes protocol before launch and how much time they have to do it. There could be a scenario where everything is fine. You know, like every software developer wrote code with no bugs and, you know, it's good to go on the launch of Runes. Most likely not. Most likely it's going to be, you know, a few hours, or, you know, it's going to be within the same day that most of the stuff goes live. The real opportunity is those first, you know, those first 3 hours that you want to be in the chair, lock the door, kind of let no one bother you. And Magic Eden is going live, you know, like Xverse is going live. Everything is going to be live on day one. The question is just when and how stable it will be throughout the day. We're not going to probably be in the OTC trading kind of phase like we were in Ordinals last time, but, you know, you will have full trading like we already have for BRC20. It'll be a little bit better, but don't expect the trading to be too much better than BRC20. The real merits of this is not in the trading. The merits of it are in the indexing and how easy it is for developers to build on top of it.
So, and I agree, but a lot of people are focused on the trading side. So I appreciate you answering that question too. All right, two rapid fire questions. First one, from a technical perspective, when you think about developing the Bitcoin network, are we at a point now where the names are Satoshi Nakamoto, Hal Finney, Casey Rodemore? Is that where we're at?
I would say that like those things probably take a little bit more time, but he's definitely on that track for sure. I mean, and if Runes is successful, I mean, you know, he has the potential to create something at a scale bigger than Vitalik did with Ethereum. I mean, again, like the potential for this is half of Bitcoin's market cap, you know, probably in the bull run. And so Runes itself and Ordinals as an ecosystem is going to rival Ethereum. And I'm not an Ethereum hater. I love Ethereum. We build on Ethereum and I have a lot of assets on Ethereum. I'm just talking numbers right now.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that is crazy. It kind of hit me during this conversation because of all that Casey's accomplished in the past, call it year and a half. Last question. So you got all those, are those comic books behind you? It's a nice little backdrop. Is it comic books? Is it movie posters?
Yeah, movie posters. Yeah.
Very nice. And then is that a Kanban board behind you on the right side?
Of course, man. Of
like,
course.
Dude, you don't have to try that hard, man. We get it. You're building a startup. It doesn't have to be Silicon Valley over here. Like, what should I put behind me over here?
Actually, the problem is I have a window right here, so I got to block the light here.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. Look, we always love having you on.
We don't like using project management in our organization, Trevor. We like to sort of just...
We have a digital one. And Asana is literally a digital one. So anyway, I'm just giving Trevor a hard time. Trevor lived in San Francisco for a long time, has you know, been in the entrepreneurship game for a long time. Trevor, when I first met him, was someone that I really looked up to as someone that had been through the startup game. And obviously, I still do love
now,
having
now,
you.
Now, no longer.
Very funny. Trevor, love having you on, man. We got to honestly have you on more often. I think it's hilarious that me and Clemente were like, yeah, we'll have him on for 15 minutes to talk about runes when obviously there's so much more to unpack here, but enjoyed every minute. Everyone should check out Pizza Ninjas, your Ordinals collection, which is on a goddamn rip right now, post pizza party. That's pretty cool. That's awesome. Also at the pizza party, I loved how you kept like really proudly telling me like there's no budget for this event. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I mean, how much pizza are we going to eat here? It's like 13 guys. Like, how high could the budget go? But it was so cool, so fun. And I hope it obviously continues. They should check out Ninja Alerts, the startup organization and software product. Anything else people should check out, Trevor?
You definitely want to go to ordinals.com/runes. You definitely want to go to bitcoin.org and download a Bitcoin node. It's basically the same thing as minting an NFT from contract on Ethereum. If you can learn to use MetaMask, you can learn to mint from the contract on Ethereum. You can learn to run a Bitcoin node. It's literally like BitTorrent. It's the level of complexity of running a Bitcoin node is like running BitTorrent. If you can download a season of How I Met Your Mother on BitTorrent, you can download the history of the blockchain. And you can set up a command line tool. And dude, like, this is the big opportunity. Like, there's still probably, if you start right now, enough time to do it. Otherwise, you're going to be,
this is for the lottery, basically.
This is for just to be able to mint in the first, 3 to 5 hours of this launch and to have an edge on everybody else. And honestly, to contribute to the Bitcoin network, because ultimately that's what this is all about. Is running your own node is going to set yourself up for basically freedom, right? You can verify your own transactions, you can validate the history of the network, and you can make sure that we can separate money from the state with Bitcoin. And so, this is a good excuse. You're literally being paid to run a Bitcoin node. You're literally being paid to learn how to use a command line tool if you can just do it. And so, investing in yourself is never a mistake. In fact, it's one of the best investments. And so, today's Monday. It launches Friday around midnight. The time will fluctuate slightly. Cancel whatever else you have going on because this will be worth it.
I love the message at the end. Bitcoin's incentives are so beautiful. That's why the thing's literally gone from $1 to $65,000. That's nothing. $1 to $65,000. That's everyday stuff. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, $65,000. That's normal.
It's just painful to listen to your attitude and your tone. It's just like so like. That you're on an island by yourself yelling at a wall.
Me and Trevor are on the same island, big dog. Hope you make it. 65 grand is just the beginning. Anyway, this ain't Castaway. We're not losing Wilson, baby.
Something actually that the audience cares about. So maybe you can shut up for a second.
This is Epstein's Island. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, show. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time is
a question real quick.
Okay.
Are you going to keep ranting about Bitcoin?
I was literally about to finish the show 9 a.m. Eastern time.
Mike was what the resource is that they should go to in order to actually walk through this step by step thing that he just expressed for 20 minutes. What they should do?
Trevor, one more time.
Yeah, ordinals.com, bitcoin.org. A lot of the alpha about setting up a Bitcoin node is all the communities right now in Bitcoin are doing the same thing we're doing at Pizza Ninjas, which is. We're limiting the alpha for holders. So I would say join a Ordinals community. Pizza Ninjas, we have all the resources in our Discord. I'm sure that there's other ones as well. But this is something where you're going to need to be involved in a community to really kind of get all the alpha for runes. There's some guides out there, but I would say if you're already a developer, well, first of all, setting up Bitcoin Core is the easy part. Setting up runes and Ordinals is the harder part. And so, yeah, there we go. Got bounced. He said he posted in the Nifty Discord. So I guess it's the Nifty guys. Good luck.
There we go. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. And Bodagos has a rune coming out and it's going to be the best one out of all of them. So just kidding. There is no Bodagos rune unless some asshole makes it like people seem to like doing where they just make stuff on our behalf and we have nothing to do with it. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time, this show happens every single week. Clemente, why don't you close it out because you opened it, buddy. Go ahead.
I see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening. All right. Thank you.